Welcome everyone to another appointment with B-Vector. Today, I'm delighted to introduce you Dr. Simon Carpenter from the Purbright Institute. Hi, Simon.
Hi, Eva. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. Thank you very much for your time. It's very nice to have you here. Well, so Simon, can you please introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit more of what you do at the Purbright Institute.
Yeah, so I'm Simon Carpenter, as Eva said. I work at the Purbright Institute and I have done for about 18 years. I lead a research group that works primarily on entomology and specifically around the transmission of viruses by insects, in particular biting midges and mosquitoes. And the Purbright Institute as a whole works on viral diseases of livestock and also zoonotics, so viruses that can be transmitted between animals and humans.
Is the Purbright Institute related to any university or other research institute? I'm not meaning only in the UK, but also abroad somehow?
Yep. So domestically, we obviously work with quite a lot of institutions one way or another, just through collaboration. For my group, we work primarily with the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. So we have several projects running with them. And then also with Surrey University, which is quite local to Purbright. So we have good links with them as well. Overseas, it's a whole range of collaborations. So we work right away across the world in collaboration with other organisations, primarily for work in developing countries, but also with some links with people who share the same disease problems. So USDA is a good example of that, where they're interested in Culicoides-borne viruses. Yeah, so we don't award PhDs ourselves, but we have university collaborations where we get that service. So we have a community of around 60 PhDs at any one time. So those adverts tend to come out around February, March time. So keep an eye out for that if you're interested in joining us.
Excellent.
And that's on everything you can think of in terms of that remit of working on viral diseases. So we have a whole range of students who underpin our work with that and then go on to work at other institutions
which
in that area.
Which pathogens? You mentioned viruses for livestock, but which pathogens, in this case, which viruses and which vectors it's actually Purbright working on?
Yeah, so we range a lot in that. So we range all the way from human viruses, so which are primarily transmitted between humans, like dengue and chikungunya and things along those lines, and the Aedes-borne viruses in particular, right the way to viruses which are largely transmitted in ruminants. So blue tongue African horse sickness is good examples of that. So that helps us actually work within that interface between animal veterinary science and human medical science.
So we work on
foot and mouth disease on site, which is among the most contagious animal diseases. So that has been sort of a real thing for Purbright over the years in terms of actually working with some of the most contagious viruses. So because of that, we've also developed expertise on other containment levels. So working with mosquitoes in containment and midges in containment, right the way up to CL3 in terms of the human pathogens.
I see. Yeah, talking about human pathogens, actually, I know you mentioned livestock diseases, animal diseases, okay, but as we know, especially in the perspective of vectors or arthropods, there are many pathogens that can jump to animal from animal to human, so zoonoses. So here we are not just dealing with animal health, but somehow also with human health, especially as you mentioned, you work on mosquitoes, transmitted pathogens as well. But under the One Health approach, which also cover not only animal, not only human health, but also environmental health, how is the Purbright Institute prospect vision towards the One Health approach?
Yeah, it's challenging, I think, because although a lot of people pay lip service to One Health work and say that that's what they're doing in terms of actually getting right the way down to working between those areas, it's actually quite challenging to find the funding and other sorts of resources required for it. So we tend to take the view that those things are a broad sort of diversity of areas that we can bring together. Mm. So particularly in our overseas work, we've had quite a lot of success in bringing together veterinary and medical communities to work together, because often there is a lack of continuity in those services. So we try really hard to actually get those communities speaking actually in some of the projects, particularly one in India that you mentioned actually was really interesting for that, in bringing together communities which otherwise would not have actually come together. Within that, we're trying to work across biting midges, sandflies and black flies, which span in terms of impact both veterinary and human problems, basically. Right. So there's a kind of a real push within that to try and get those people together. Because even just within the entomology communities, there's enough division in terms of this stuff. Often the veterinary entomologists are not talking to the medical entomologists and vice versa. So there's a real challenge there to try and bring most communities together, which we try and address through talking to each other and trying to set up projects which integrate those particular areas.
Well, this is also the aim of B-Vector interviews, because we want really to enrich the community and outreach everyone. Absolutely. Working in this field, which is very important. So it's again part of communication and sharing. So the network you were mentioning, you mentioned the infra, we go back to that in a minute, but the one that you were mentioning is also the network, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this was a project which we set up. I mean, it's primarily aimed at helping develop critical mass in areas of vector research which are limited in terms of the numbers of people doing them. So the idea being that you've got three vector groups for biting midges, sandflies and black flies, which are all a bit underrepresented.
Exactly.
In the community in terms of the numbers of people doing them, and also in terms of the demographics are not big enough to support early careers researchers developing a career in those areas. So the idea is we bring those guys together to actually try and create that critical mass. And as part of that, we've done training courses in Brazil and Bangladesh, and we've also got a website where we can access open access resources. Okay. Scientists to actually develop their careers in that area.
It's very important to connect, also to link several networks together, because there are many emerging networks at the moment on emerging diseases, so it's very important to make them public and to advertise them as much as we can. So the last question is, you mentioned InfraVectum, and we are all, me as well, involved in this very interesting project, which is offering at no cost to anyone in the world product, services and access to infrastructure to run your research. How is the Purbet Institute fitting in the InfraVectum project?
Yeah, so we're a national capability, so that means that we have unique things that the UK otherwise doesn't have. So some of those are insect lines, which are very specific, which we've produced over the years, are available at no cost for use in research. So we're providing those, and that includes things like biting midges, mosquitoes, stomoxis, so the stable flies. So there's a whole raft of stuff that we're actually providing for that. And then within the more sort of research-driven component, we're looking at quality standards for those resources. So trying to understand what the impact is of different lines on the research which is being carried about out upon them. So we can actually come up with standardised ways of working with these insects so that everybody knows what the results are in terms of comparability.
That's very important, standardisation.
Big component of what we're doing.
Yeah. So people can apply through InfraVec directly and get in contact with you and choose among the different services, including training courses that the Purbet Institute is offering, right?
Yeah, so with the training courses, we're offering courses which are in around containment, so biological containment of pathogens when you're working with insects in particular. So that actually provides a service in terms of trying to set up best practice for those techniques to make sure that they're safe to the user as a foremost thing, but also scientifically relevant as well. That's the other point there. So the idea with that is that we've already run one of those courses, and there's another one coming up. So keep an eye on the InfraVec site.
Exactly. Watch out for the next upcoming course. Mm-hmm. Simon, the last question, which is actually an opinion from you. So what do you think would be the best approach to contain the arrival, and even better, the spread of pathogens?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is a two-part question, but the first part is really challenging in terms of predicting when and where these viruses or other pathogens are going to turn up in Europe. So we struggle a bit with that, just because a lot of the methods which the pathogens use to move around are really unpredictable and often quite low probability. So they're only going to happen occasionally. So there's a real difficulty there in predicting what's going to happen. In terms of response, it's building a critical mass of people who have the experience of actually being in those situations, and specifically around the entomology. Because from my experience working with Blue Tongue, probably around 50% of the questions the policymakers are asking have entomology as a core component. So where things are going to spread to, how fast are they going to spread, what insects are feeding on these particular animals or humans. All of that comes back to field-based entomology, and the critical mass for that is actually limited. So there's a real problem there in terms of supporting policymakers to make the right decisions in terms of scientific evidence and fundamental sort of science that they need to actually make those decisions.
Yeah, we need more interaction with the entomologists, with people that are in the field. That would help a lot. Yeah. Well, great. So our time is finished. It was really nice to talk to you. And now we know what the Purbread Institute has to offer to the scientific community. So please get in touch with Simon Carpenter if you need to know more, if you want to know more, because there's more to know. I mean, in this short time, we could only give you an idea of what are the different subjects that they are handled and work at the Purbread Institute. Okay. Thank you very much, Simon, for your time.
Thanks, Sarah.
Have a good continuation and go around. Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.